Hello, everybody. Welcome to Optional Opinion here on the Anomalous Radio Network. I'm your host, Eddie B. Thank you guys for joining me. I have a very special episode for you. Wow, it's just going to be so cool finally getting this guest. I know I've been talking about him on the podcast, and of course we're going to do it again when we get to talking about sports games and stuff like that. But I would like to welcome one of the co-hosts, one of my comic friends, I should say. He's part of the Critical Hit Anomalous, and his name is John O'Hagan. Welcome, John.
Oh, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being on the show.
Finally. I almost feel like I should like bust out a rock and be like, finally, the John has come to the Optional Opinion.
Well, welcome. I always welcome my guests. To start off today, we're going to be talking about some random things. And it's probably going to be more opinion-based than being more, saying our options and stuff. We'll probably throw some in from time to time. But I want to ask you, John, where did you get your start at in video games?
Probably the Atari 2600 with the greatest game ever, Pong. Those graphics were still, to this day, top-notch. But my earliest memory more is the original Nintendo with Super Mario Brothers. I remember back when I lived in the city, my dad was the first person in the neighborhood who actually beat the original Mario Brothers, and that was my claim to fame for the longest time. And then RBI Baseball was where I got into my sports games. And then, I mean, that theme song still to this day is in my head. Do 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 do, and it's just been with me my whole life. And I'm sorry now that that's probably in your heads.
And it's weird because I used to play baseball on an NES.
Okay.
But see, when it came to sports, of course, it was Double Dribble by Konami and Tecmo Bowl by Tecmo. You know, one of the
Skate or Die was another one.
See, I hated Skate or Die. I love the music of Skate or Die, but the controls for Skate or Die, I've never figured it out. And you can never beat the game. Like, you could do the whole, all the courses, but there wasn't no ending to it.
And then there was the California Games. I don't know if you ever played that one.
I played
on the
California
NES.
Games. Yeah, I played that one.
And then from NES, I went to Sega. No, I was SNES for a while. And then the Genesis came out, and that just changed everything. Because I remember, like, you go back to, like, the Mortal Kombat days, if you will.
Yeah.
And Nintendo at the time still wasn't willing to do blood in their systems.
Right.
And the Genesis did, and that was really the defining factor where, you know, and again, the advertising where, like, you know, Sonic was more edge in your face compared to Mario was just a bum.
Yeah, Sega does with Nintendo.
Right. Yeah, I remember those marketings.
But see, with the Mortal Kombat, you had to put the code in.
Yeah. Well, I think they did that, I think, in Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat 1, if I remember correctly, there was no way to get blood in the Super Nintendo version of Mortal Kombat.
And we have another special guest.
He's got lots to say, too. little Eddie over there.
Baby Eddie. Well, continue. Any more history?
And then from the Super Nintendo and the Genesis, I've had a PlayStation, Dreamcast, which, again, I will be one of the firm people that will always tell you that Dreamcast was ahead of its time.
Yes.
I mean, for the people that bashed it way back when, guess what? We're now enjoying the stuff that Sega introduced way back in the 90s.
Right.
And then I had the N64, which some of the best games were on the N64. But then Sony also with Final Fantasy VII, in my opinion, revolutionized cinematic games. Now he wants. Now he has plenty to say. During warm up, he wanted to say nothing.
Yeah. Kind of almost the way that I went to with my gaming. Started off with Atari 2600 because I got a brother. He had the Sega systems and I had the Nintendo. So I kind of went from the Atari 2600. He had the Sega Master System. The only time I actually went away from Nintendo is when I got a TurboGrafx-16.
Oh, I had that. That was the first one that had not Altered Beast. What was the Golden Axe? I think if I remember correctly, was on the TurboGrafx.
No, Golden Axe was Sega Genesis.
Was it Genesis? Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think. There was like one game that was like a ripoff or knockoff.
It was X something.
Yeah. Like I said, what's Golden Axe? I'll have to look it up later. I'll comment on it on the Facebook page or whatever.
We don't do research on here at times.
Yeah. I just like to pretend I know what I'm talking about.
Maybe Eddie's trying to get to the mic.
Because that's how it was with me and my brother. Because my brother got an N64. Uh-huh. And when he got N64, I was like, all right, fine, forget it. I'll go get myself a PlayStation. So, and then, of course, what did my brother do? He got rid of his 64 to get a PlayStation. And I was sitting there, I'm like, dude, we can have two different systems in the house. Why do you want to have the same one? And his logic was, because then we can borrow each other's games. And I was just like, that's dumb.
We could just play each other's systems.
Right.
And kind of, well, not really with me, because my brother ended up going to college, so I continued the video game legacy by getting a whole bunch of systems. Actually, the first video game system that I purchased myself was the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I think that's the same here, because it's like, with my PlayStation, I ended up trading in my N64, and again, I'm a huge collector, if you will, so yeah. Eventually my library got so large where I literally, at the time, was able to take it to Funko Land. And just traded in that and walked out with a brand new PlayStation with, like, Final Fantasy VII, Tactics.
Yeah.
I think, I can't remember what it was. I walked out with quite a selection. Oh, and, like, and I was in it, still am, but also WWE SmackDown. Because after WrestleMania 2000, I think Acclaim lost the rights to the wrestling games and
THQ.
THQ. Yeah. And then for some reason, like, it was cool on the 64 because you can do your created character and do the full entrances. But like when SmackDown came out on PlayStation, it was just your created character walking around to the background, right. TitanTron. Like there was no pyro and stuff.
And it was weird when PlayStation 2 came out. My friend, he had SmackDown versus Raw, and we played game for so many nights. My friend actually, and this is a revelation about myself. My friends dressed me up as a priest and played church music, and then when I would lift my hands up, but then I would walk like one of the divas So I had all the sassy walk, and I would straight laugh. I'm like, what in the world is this? And they were just like, my father, I'm sassy it up. And I used to just straight laugh because I'm like, they really dressed me up as a priest. And I'm just like, what is all this church clothes on me? This is not my character. I think we have the same path.
Yeah, yeah. Like going like my WWE game wise, I've had a character that I've been making since the N64, even like WCW games.
Uh-huh.
I've had my Lucha Libre, my Mexican wrestler.
Yeah.
And his name was Juancnan Valdez, and I've always made him in every game, every wrestling game I've owned, even in my WWE 2K15.
Wow.
Or no, 2K14. 13. 13 is the last one I picked up.
Okay.
I still have him in that one. And literally, he's got like Juancnan written on his pants. And he's got the Mexican flag. He wears a chest piece. He's got the little horns. And then my buddy, who he used to go by the nickname The Kid. So when we used to make him in the game, we actually would call our tag team Two Balls and a Beanbag. And that was the name of our tag team.
I can't. That's cool. That's funny, but that's really cool. I haven't really played a lot of wrestling games. It's been a long time that I've played them. Eventually, I'll get back to them playing them. But yeah, SmackDown versus Raw was my game. That was the 2 o'clock staying up with friends on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mario Kart Double Dash took over. I don't know if I ever told you this, but the longest that I've been up was I went to my friend's house at 10 p.m. and we played The World Is Not Enough.
Okay.
On N64. Us three would play that game from one day. We played it from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. that next day. And all of us had to be at work in that morning around 10 o'clock. So we're coming in at 9 o'clock looking like zombies. Be like, did you guys get any sleep?
Oh, jeez.
They're just like, yeah.
That's how I did with GoldenEye, the original GoldenEye. Many times. That and the original Smash Brothers, going all the way back. I still remember those original commercials, when they played the song by the Turtles, I think.
Uh-huh.
Imagine me and you. And then, you know, then all of a sudden you got Yoshi and Mario beating each other up.
That was super funny. So today's topic, it's going to be random topics. It's more going to be a reaction than our personal opinions. I'm going to start off by talking about Destiny. As people could be reading the newspapers and stuff, there's been a big kerfuffle about Destiny and this new the Tekken King expansion pack. Last week they revealed it at E3. Last week they revealed it at E3. And there is an article with Luke Smith. And if anyone doesn't know Luke Smith, he used to be one of the editors at 1UP.com, who was part of Ziff Davis. They did EGM, GMR, and things of that. He used to do 1UP Yours and talk on their podcast and stuff. And when 1UP Yours dispersed, he ended up getting hired at Bungie, one of his dream jobs. Now with the Tekken King, he's director of it. He's creative director. He, you know, created the game, with the team, of making this. He did, interview with Eurogamer, and Eurogamer kind of asked him all these questions and he responded. And at the closer to the end, the journalist at Eurogamer said he's not going to be buying the suspension bag. Why can't he just buy the stuff that he needs? Why he has to spend $80 in Europe to buy this game? And Luke Smith was just getting hit with so many questions and trying to defend himself. And, you know, it kind of pissed off gamers because anyone who gets the collection edition is getting the game and then the two expansion packs, stuff that they already had. And, you know, to get some of the extra content that you can't get with just buying the Tekken King, you have to buy this collector's edition. So, John, what is your thoughts about that? Like, do you think the way that Bungie handled it was problematic? And was it a right for gamers to be upset about it?
Well, speaking myself, I'm actually a Destiny owner from day one. I picked that game up when it came out. And I also bought both the DLC packs that, you know, which was an investment from content that at the time wasn't ready. And granted, both add-on packs, in my opinion, were very lackluster, which we talked about before we went on the air.
Yeah.
At the time, yes, and I think every gamer had, especially people who owned the game from day one, where we paid almost $90, and this is just like in my case where I just bought the game. I didn't buy the super cool collector's edition that was like $100 and almost impossible to find. Right. And then, you know, I paid almost $100 anyway for the game and the two DLC packs. And then to come out now and say in September for $60, you get the game, the two DLC packs, and the Tekken King now for $60 with exclusive content compared to someone who's been with Bungie from day one. However, since that interview and stuff, if you follow like the Bungie or Bungie.net, or they release their Destiny thing through their app, because unfortunately Destiny still doesn't have matchmaking, where if you want to do something, you have to find, you have their app and find a group that wants to do the raid.
Right.
Anyways, that's another one of my complaints. But they did come out and they did sit there and say, but you have to register on their website now. That if you bought Destiny or you already own Destiny and you have both the DLC packs, you'll be able to get Tekken King now for $20 with all the added content. And I guess Bungie's also going to give people from day one special emblems and shaders and a special black sparrow because you had the game since the beginning. So Bungie, they are listening, which is kind of what we've talked about before. Uh-huh. That I like to know that the companies themselves are listening to their fans. You know why we were upset, and they even acknowledged in the letter that that they had wrote that, you know, our bad. It was our mistake for us to make it sound, you know, listening to some of the podcast interviews that we've been a part of.
Right.
It does sound like, not me personally, from the guys from Bungie when they're doing the podcast, that they're saying that, you know, it does come across if you're listening to it that we don't care about our built-in community, and that's not true at all. So to answer your original question, now I've gone way too long. Yes, I believe that the gamers had every right to be frustrated because, again, like in my case, I spent $100 last September, October when it came out, and now you're telling me a year later, and I think it's just the way that the gaming industry right now is, though, is it's almost with the DLCs, is it's like they're putting out half a game. So you're, because now it's, the new one is Destiny Ultimate or Destiny Complete Edition.
Right.
So pretty much you're telling me that the one that I bought last September with your DLC packs was your beta. You know, it's... I mean, the game's changed a lot, too,
right,
since when I got it. But like we had mentioned, too, is Bungie had come out and said, we're not going to treat this game like your every run-of-the-mill MMO. And to be honest, the fan base found, or the community found an exploit. What does Bungie do? They patch it. And then they come up with this new thing, like a new raid boss. But when they come up with a new raid boss, it messes everything else up. So now they're patching the old boss, and then there's new exploits. And when the community finds another exploit to your thing, you're giving us another patch. And again, if this is supposed to be an MMO-type game, that's kind of some of the fun stuff that you have is, you know, so why are you going to punish us as a community of finding a way to defeat a boss a certain way so we can still get said rewards? Instead, it's like, just because we're not beating it the way you wanted us to, well, if I wanted a linear story, I'll go back to Square Enix's Final Fantasy 13. So, okay, that's that. Right.
Well, the thing about it that I see that is weird is kind of, and I'm going to kind of roll Arkham Knight into this, is that, and this might be a discussion about another game DLC. It's kind of weird that people who complain about DLC and companies have to come up with a reason or argument on why they're doing this. You know, with Arkham Knight, they put out a season pass that's $40 and didn't tell nobody until about 2 or 3 days later after everybody made a fuss. So it's kind of weird that they have to get a negative reaction to it.
Right.
To actually get some understanding or for the company to make up for the DLC.
I think
DLC.
Some of that too, sorry, would be some of Capcom's business practices in the past. Capcom, granted, now, as we were talking, again, a lot of discussion off air, which we'll obviously be bringing on air. So, like, Capcom early on, and even, was it 2K? Or no, EA, or EA2 with, like, Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Where they were purposely leaving stuff that was on the disc, but they were leaving it off, and you had to pay to get the unlock code. Like, for instance, like, Street Fighter for the longest time. Capcom had all the characters and all them costume packs, and yet here you are having to pay $2.99 a character to get a thing, or $5 a character, and I think that's why a lot of fans now, especially in the age with people who can like hack or get into the file code and stuff and find out that this really cool DLC that we were hyped or excited for turned out that it was already on a $60 disc that we've already purchased. Now, like, for instance, like, I've complained to you recently about the Smash Brothers DLC.
Right.
Like, I personally, for my own personal reason, because I have a family, where it's very pricey for me to get all said $5 a character.
Right.
But, like you have said, Nintendo breaks it down for you. At least, you know, granted, just finding out what we were talking about, that the DLC, like, the Ryu, Lucas, Roy, right? Was it Roy or Marth? Roy.
And Mewtwo.
They were already in development, you know, and just found out that even though they weren't on the game itself, but they were already on development, still is one of those, okay, I get it. I can still bear with it because obviously these are characters that fans want, but I still don't justify that these four characters, well, minus Ryu, so three of the characters,
right,
have at least been a free character from day one, at least at some point or the other. And, I mean, at least Mewtwo, I think, should have just, if Nintendo was just trying out the DLC thing,
right,
Mewtwo should have at least been, I mean, granted, they did find a way to distribute Mewtwo for free if you bought both copies. So, really, if you really break it down, even though right now I can get Mewtwo for $5, if you think about it, for you, personally, you spent $90 to get Mewtwo because you have it for the Wii U and you have it for the 3DS. I mean...
Discount.
That's how they tell it to you. But, yeah. But well, yeah, with where you're working. But even that.
But with that being said, that they offer you, even though it's kind of the same game and fighting mechanics, there's so much different content that each other does. You know, and a lot of people was actually shocked that Nintendo, when they did a direct about Smash, you know, seeing eight players on the screen. And then you see people, like journalists, playing the game before it came out. and you're hearing the commentary, and that's getting a lot of people interested. Mm-hmm. So you definitely when it comes to EVO, which is a fighting competition, a fighting game right. competition, you want to see 8 players smash at EVO. Oh, yeah. Because the thing about it is, it's not about, of course it's going to be about fun, but you already out the gate is getting a lot of content. Right. So to see 8 people come in, not know how each styles is, to be starting fighting each other in an 8-player battle, that's going to be a highlight of EVO Dozen. Right. I don't think they're going to do that. But who would have thought that, you know, adding an 8-player an 8-player versus fighter mode is like, on a 2D plane, on Smash, who would ever think about that besides Nintendo? Right, and then when people get it in, you know, it's crazy. Doing 4-player Smash with 4 other people on 4 3DSs, that's also awesome. You know.
We do that quite a bit here. So.
And it's just like, it's training you about, you know, it's training you to be a better fighter and stuff. Go compared to what Capcom did with Capcom versus Tekken. Street Fighter versus Tekken.
Cross Tekken. I have it, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still waiting, because weren't they, sorry, but wasn't it, like, the agreement originally was supposed to, like, Capcom was going to do a version, they're into Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and then Namco was supposed to do a 3D version, and it was supposed to be Tekken Cross Street Fighter.
Yeah, well, I think because of the first version, Capcom's version didn't sell well, they might have not did it. And I think because, this is just my theory, I think because Namco was so good with Nintendo, because we got Pokken, I think because they was developing that, I think when they seen the lack of sales for the other game, they decided just to cancel it.
That's makes sense.
And then they got, like, I think Tekken 7. I think it's the newest one, Tekken 7.
Yeah, I think Tekken 7, because I know, yeah.
And so they're probably working on that one right there.
Yeah, because I think they did Tekken Tag Team Tournament 2 or something around the time that it was supposed to come out, so that sounds plausible.
And I could agree that it's weird having DLC for fighters. Definitely, if you look at Killer Instinct, that came out for Xbox One.
Oh yeah, I have that too. So that's the reason I got that one is because how I had Xbox Live Gold, I was still a 360 owner. Pretty much what Microsoft did early on to some of the 360 owners was they actually sent me the combo pack for free, so I was able to get the download the game for free, and then it gave me the core group of fighters. But yeah, then they did Season 2, which is a whole bunch of other fighters. And I think that's my big issue. Like, some DLC I don't mind paying for, even though I can wait for, like, what I did with Shadows of Mordor. I waited till the Game of the Year edition came out of that, so I got all the DLC for, like, an extra $10. But, like, for instance, Arkham Knight, I was getting the DLC for Arkham Knight regardless, because Rocksteady, they give you tons of content in the game, you know, where I already, just like how you feel with Smash, where there's tons of content.
Right.
And Rocksteady, if this is their big bang finale, like they're saying it is, you know, they're not gonna, I have faith in the developer, if you will, you know.
Yeah, and I do too. I think the problem was, it's just for them to charge people without knowing what that content is. And I think that's a lot of people have a problem with that I feel like Nintendo gets right. Before they release the DLC, they're going to have a Nintendo Direct and show you the stuff that's what you're going to get in playable form. And then they'll just be like, well, this comes out next Thursday or it's released now. You know, they would do something like that, where a lot of the third parties, when they come to DLC, they kind of just send something, PR just sends it to one of the video game websites, and then they make a story about it. And it's just like, well, this might not be good. You know, first, get your game together. Make sure that it's patched and stuff before you start charging. Definitely if you look at Assassin's Creed Unity and the problems that they have with that. And then to get some of the stuff, it was through microtransactions.
Right.
And people had problems with that.
It's the freemium market. It's unfortunately, it's the way of the future. I mean, and again, that's just some of the cell phone gaming, making its way. You know, if it's going to sell, I mean, even look at Nintendo. Nintendo's looking into getting into, not the freemium market. Well, they're doing that already on the 3DS with Pokemon Rumble and Pokemon Shuffle, where they have their little microtransactions there too. But at least they're not like Candy Crush, where eventually it's stacked where you can't get past a level.
Right.
But like even Nintendo, they're getting into the mobile gaming soon. And I mean, that's just the way the future. And obviously if people are willing to spend $100 on whatever, like for instance, for me, I play Simpsons Tapped Out on my phone.
Right.
If people are willing to spend $100 to get like 5,000 donuts to unlock the premium content,
right,
more power to them. But I think that they got to find a balance now, where with the premium stuff, you should be able, you know, if you're gonna take the time and you want to wait the 24 hours for the magic great armor,
right,
or if you want to pay $5 to get it instantly, you should still have it where you can do it both ways. You know, don't sit there now where if I'm playing like a fighting game or whatever, where it's like Clash of Clans, if you will, or something, right, where it's like, you know, if this guy spent real money, I'm going to get punished because I didn't spend the $50 to get the ultra rare silver gold rainbow dragon, you know.
Right. And I think even I was just thinking about it. Even EA had that with their sports games. I think it was one of the NFLs where
they do it with
the stadiums and like one of the all-star teams. Or one of the teams, in order to get them, you had to pay them because, right, they were DLC.
Yeah.
And it was just like a stadium. It's almost like about $10.
Oh, yeah, I remember
like
that. Yeah, back, I think it was Madden 25.
Yeah.
Because I know most of what EA does now to get the sports fans now is one of their most popular features is their EA Online. Like for me, I play a lot of NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So it's EA, the EA Sports, it's EA SHL, the EA Sports Hockey League Online.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that like in Madden, it's like the EA FL or whatever. That was one of the features that was missing in NHL 15, which was causing that big uproar about missing features. But to play those, you have to create a team. But the way to get the team is you have to get card packs, and either you can earn a lot of hockey pucks, or in Madden, the football pucks, and you get those depending on the difficulty you play or how many games online you play, or you can get the ultra cool collector superstar edition if you spend $10. And
to me, that's, I don't want to say that's the meaning, but I just feel like that's really unfair.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's why I don't play, I'm not one of those people that, I did not miss EA, the Eshul. I did not miss that from Madden, or not Madden, from NHL 15. I didn't miss it because I never played it.
Right.
I mean, it's a cool feature. It's like the ultimate fantasy league, if you will, if you're into that. But I just don't feel that, getting back to what I had just said, I don't think that it's fair that since I didn't spend $100 to get a bunch of gold packs, that this guy who spent said money, you know, to get a team of Gretzky, Lemieux, and you know, all these great legends against my guys I'm getting out of like the KHL or the AHL, you know, because you know they give you low level cards. So
right,
my low level team going against this guy of all stars is
just... now. What I could understand if and a lot of people probably, I don't know, agree with me about this. I have always wanted to have it one, like NHL 15. Let's just take that for example, and you could go and buy 16 if you want. With new updates and things like that. But if you feel comfortable playing 15 and you just want to update your roster, $10. $10 to update every roster's in the team. And it would be nice if EA allowed that to happen.
They do, actually, in a sense. Like, you won't get the new features, but, like, the roster, they go on. Like, for at least EA updates the rosters for, I think, at least a year or two afterwards. So you can stay with NHL 15, like, again, you can stay with 15 until 16 or 17. And again, one of the things is if you're really that dedicated and you really don't want to give it up and EA stops doing the roster updates,
right,
you can still change the rosters manually. Of course, that takes a lot of time and effort, but that takes me back to my PlayStation 2 days back when I used to play triple play baseball.
Oh.
You know, I would do that. I would get on the internet, print out the rosters, then I would sit there, I spend a whole day trading. You know, I would do the real trades too.
And the funny thing about Triple Play Baseball was that, because it was on the Genesis also, right?
Right,
Genesis.
Yeah.
I played a little bit on the PlayStation, but when I got hooked on the Genesis. I thought this was almost the best baseball game I had ever played.
Well, I think they changed it. For the viewers, the listeners, Triple Play did eventually turn into MVP before 2K bought the third-party rights, or the limited 5 or 7 year after EA got the rights to Madden, the exclusive rights to only do football. 2K got mad, and they went ahead and got the exclusive third-party rights to do a to do baseball. That's why there has, like, if you go on, like, Nintendo, like, that's why you can still have Mario, like, Mario Slugger, whatever it's called for Nintendo, yeah. And why Sony has the show. But that's why Microsoft doesn't have its own, because 2K, and I think that contract is expiring, so...
Yeah, 2K contract is up.
Because I know EA is ready to bring out another MVP, but I didn't mean to cut you off from Genesis.
That's completely fine. But the thing with the baseball, the situation, and now this is kind of sports talk, that Sony has the show, which has been a good series. It's been really consistent, which is good for Sony. I give it to them because it really sells. EA got most of the other sports, where 2K now pretty much has basketball on lock and has wrestling on lock. EA is mostly going to make their sales on a little bit of PGA.
Yeah, I know they dropped Tiger Woods.
It's somebody else now.
I think it's like Rory McIlroy or somebody.
Which I still don't understand why they had the Battlefield 4 Battleship in their, like... on a golf course. I'm like, what nonsense is this? And they did this as a trailer for their 2014 E3. And I'm like, oh, they just lost their good on mine.
That's like sitting there now and being like, since we're making a Battlefield, Star Wars Battlefield, we're going to have a golf course on Tatooine while we're at it, just to cross promote.
And see, EA has football. They have soccer. That's also football, and like in Europe and other places, they have NHL, which is hockey, and pretty much, and they still got NBA Live.
And they're doing MMA, UFC.
But the problem with that, I think they only made maybe one or two. I haven't seen that series in a while.
I thought because during the week of E3, EA was doing their EA Access, like, get a free trial. They had like seven games you can try, and they had like Plants versus Garden Warfare,
right?
Plants versus Zombies, Garden Warfare. It was and then like FIFA, Madden 15 and Madden 25,
right?
Need for Speed, and I think the UFC one was one of them, like, and Battlefield 4. And yeah. I never sat and played. I didn't bother with the UFC one, but I did try out Battlefield 4. And again, I'm not a big first person shooter guy. I'm not really into Call of Duties. And
I got it for $20.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, after playing that Medal of Honor Warfighter, I'm just like, I can't with this. Medal of Honor, they reboot, was really good. Really good story, really good. Just a really good game. It was kind of average, a lot of people say, but I have fun with it. I played Warfighter, and that thing was broken to death. Like, the problem with Warfighter was the scope of doing a sniper thing. So, I don't know why games do this. Even Far Cry does it, which I hate. Stop making me having to help press the L3 trigger or the directional button on the left. You got to push it in to hold the breath.
Yeah, or for us, it's for the Xbox owners, it's you got to hit the right thumbstick.
Okay, yeah. And it's just like, why do I got to do this? Why can't I just use my sniper rifle, go get him, instead of making my thing look like I'm a drunk or something? And it's just like weird. Well, there's one part where you had to snipe all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was lining up all my shots.
But you didn't factor in the wind?
Not even the wind. I took my breath in. I lined up the shots. And I hit the button to, like, shoot them. And then nothing happened. I'm like...
My hand gesture, by the way, was because I thought I was thinking that that's the one in... Either Battlefield 3 or Battlefield 4 where you're lining up your shot and... The guy's getting out of his limo, or it's more than the Call of Duty. He's getting out of his limo, And I remember because I had to do this mission freaking 12 times because I didn't factor in the wind. Guy gets out of the limo. He's got his briefcase. You're both Modern Warfare 4. Thank you. And then what? Modern Warfare 4? What was it? He's over there laughing. We have a crowd, by the way. Huh? Oh, okay. I'm doing a video game show. I'm pretty sure these guys know that I'm talking Modern Warfare. I don't have to say, sorry. Our fake producer over here now is telling me it's Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Anyways, so the guy gets out of his limo. You're supposed to shoot him. And I kept shooting and I kept missing. And it would be like, mission failed. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Well, it turns out that there's a little flag on the limo and to the right. And you're supposed to figure out which way the wind's blowing. So then you got to figure out. You had to factor in the wind. And I'm like, okay, you're going for it. So I'm like, I get how you're trying to do the breath and follow the wind. I know how you're trying to get for realism, but if you really want to go for realism, once your character dies, you have to start the game all over. Go back to how it was back with the original video games where, you know, Mario got 3 lives. You lost them 3 lives. Guess what? You're back to levels 1-1. I mean, if you're trying to get as realistic as possible. Right. I mean, I get that you want people to see, you know, experience your story. But if you want us to experience your story, don't make us have to, like you said, don't make us hold the breath. And don't make us have to factor in this wind and this flag.
Which is completely nonsense. And the reason why I complain about that, definitely in Far Cry, because I'm playing Far Cry 4. And it's just like, why in the heck do I have to hold my breath to line up my shots? Where the scopes that I got on it still doesn't work. And it's just like, okay, I'm doing these headshots and they just fall down like they hear this they just had a headache. And then they get back up and be ready to attack me. And it's just like, this is crazy.
It's like one of the memes that I showed my son earlier today. It was a Call of Duty meme and it says Elite Soldier and on the bottom can only run for 15 seconds.
I don't know why some of the modern games do that. It's just completely
Well, you go you go again with the same thing. You go Halo, Master Chief, most elite soldier in the world, can't swim.
Can't drive, neither.
Those physics on that Warthog are crazy.
Let's address this. That Halo 1, that car.
The Warthog?
Yes, controlled horribly. I got to the last part of the game where you gotta try to drive out the spaceship and stuff, and because of the controls being wonky and just being terrible, I kept crashing in and getting killed. One time I'm just driving it and it said game over. I didn't hit nothing. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, I literally just like, okay, you know what? I got to the last level. I'm not going to beat this. I'll just watch it on YouTube or something. And I literally got so frustrated and so upset with the game that I just turned it off, hooked up my GameCube, and started playing Mario Kart Double Dash. And was winning. I was just like, oh, I needed this.
That was one of the problems that I was having. Actually, no. I was going back from back in the 360, back when Grand Theft Auto 5 had just come out. I was playing Grand Theft Auto 5, and I was playing Forza 4. I'd be sitting there, I got my character stats on GTA Online maxed out, so I'm really good at driving apparently online,
which I'm gonna address after you get
and
done.
then I started playing, you go to Forza, or like in for Sony owners like a Gran Turismo, where you go to that realistic driving sim.
Yeah,
so then I switched back to Grand Theft Auto, and now I'm programmed to real physics, and so I'm trying to turn my car at Grand Theft Auto Online and I'm skidding onto the buildings. my buddy's like, all right, you're not driving no more, we're done with you.
I talked about this on earlier show. It makes no sense that there are RPG elements in Grand Theft Auto 5. If you are a car mechanic who is a thief, there's no way that you should be trying to level up yourself to drive better. You start that part off at a car shop. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. You're a well-known helicopter. Oh, those controls are just terrible. And like I said, you guys can go to onemorecastle.com. I did a review for Review a Bad Game Day for Grand Theft Auto 5, and I ripped it to shreds. I literally said this game controls like E.T., the flying mechanics. I was like, this game controls like E.T. And some other game I cannot think of. Oh, and a PC simulator, fighting simulator.
Okay.
And this one person actually got mad at me and said, and I actually did a show about this. He got mad at me because I compared it to not Grand Theft Auto. I compared it to Saints Row 3.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, okay. But Saints Row 3 and Sleeping Dogs does open world better, driving-wise, physically.
Well, I mean, I was a fan, and I can disagree with your opinion, but that's, I think that's unfortunate today's age, and I'm not going to try. I usually do this on, you know, the critical ha. You know, I do get my little soapbox. But I'll make this a shortened version for optional opinion.
You're the special guest. Right,
for the special edition of right? That's two O's. It's just like we live in that age now where everything, like when you go on, no matter like you said, your blog or your review or even when you're doing your show, when someone has a differing opinion, instead of having a valid discussion with the person and saying, you know, giving you counterpoints to how you're wrong, instead, since they don't agree, you're wrong. And of course, there's probably a lot of name calling in there, and probably was sitting there insulting you, saying you don't know what you're talking about, and it's just one of those things now where I don't get it, why people gotta be the whole politically correct thing. And I think now, like, I think when it comes to like racism, if you will, and I don't want to cross too much of a line here, but that word now is thrown around so much, like everything is racist. So since you don't like Grand Theft Auto 5, you're a racist, or you don't like this, or that game was racist because they had this character. And it's just, again, all the reviews and all the negativity. And again, people forget, or like even like it with the old school gaming magazines, if you will.
Right.
If you don't agree with what the reviewer is writing, then you see all the hate mail these guys get. And it's just like, you need to remember it's that person's opinion.
Just because
you felt that Grand Theft Auto 5's control scheme was wonky or crappy or made no sense, well, there's a whole bunch of other people who sit down and think that you're wrong, but that's their opinion.
And the weird thing about it is that I've played all of Grand Theft Auto 5 and I completed it. Mm-hmm. There was just aspects of it to be like, for a game that got delayed so much, that you guys worked on so much, you it just doesn't feel right that you got these particular game mechanics wrong. Like, there shouldn't be no way that your competition is doing something better that you somewhat originated, you know, that you're really known for. And I even talked about the helicopter thing in Vice City. The person got mad at me about that. I'm like, well, that thing was the actual option, That was actual optional mission that you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you are remote controlling the small little helicopter in a construction area, and the controls are not good.
I can agree with you on that. Vice City's controls weren't the greatest, but again, like, that's where Saints Row 3, going back to what you compared it to, mm-hmm. because Saints Row 1 and Saints Row 2 were practically Grand Theft Auto clones.
Right.
And then by the time you got to Saints Row the 3rd, remember, you got to make sure before we get corrected again by the fake producer over there, you know, starts waving up his fingers and stuff, telling me. By the way, the fake producer of this show is actually my 17-year-old stepson, who's over there just chiming in. So, you know, he just wants to make, he loves when I acknowledge him on the critical hot. So he just wants to make sure that the streak continues. So with that said, Saints Row the 3rd, that when they got to that point, they realized we're not Grand Theft Auto, and that's when they went over the top. That's when you remember, because one of the missions is you go into the porn shop, you dress up in the Dominator outfit, and you start beating people with a 6-foot purple double-sided dildo, and you have to beat the guy with it.
Right, and even though that, and it's completely zany fun.
Right,
but it was just weird that their vehicle stuff that they did in that game just felt better, felt easier. And then it's just like, to get better in Grand Theft Auto 5, you have to level it up, you know. And it's kind of weird to me that, you know, I complain about the controls and stuff, but the controls are important to me.
Right, right.
Because if I don't have good controls, how am I going to be like, I want to experience this great game, but because you got this hindrance in it, I can't get through it because you created a hindrance and you're not going to fix it. You know, and it's just, for me, definitely, I play not a lot of flight simulators. You know, one of my first thing that I had to deal with an airplane, that with actual controls, was Star Fox for the Super Nintendo. You know, and they had inverted controls. Mm-hmm. And I would die, but I would play almost 3.5 hours over and over again of Star Fox.
Okay, let me, so for the next few seconds to take you back. I'm going to answer your questions in the form of the original Star Fox. Okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Start asking some questions, and I will answer them to you, my friend Fox.
So, what do you think of DLC now?
Boom, 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 bat'em.
And what do you think of The Legend of Zelda not being at E3 this year?
Boom, 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 bat'em.
How do you feel that the industry could grow?
Andros!
And everybody, that was Star Fox. I didn't play Star Fox 64.
Oh, that was a good one. I have it. I have the 3DS version, too.
I need to go pick that one up. It's probably on the 3D. Okay, it should be on the eShop.
So what were the three questions? And I'll answer them to you, honestly. No, they're actually good questions.
But that's the kind of thing that I feel with Grand Theft Auto. I believe it's a good game. What actually started to piss me off with the first part was it had to install. That's fine. But why does the story have to install? And the story install was longer than the installation itself.
And then ironically enough, if you really think about it, Rockstar was actually preparing us for what the next generation was going to be. Because now PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, you go... I mean, it has such an impact that, okay, for Arkham Knight, for instance, I wanted to go get it at midnight, so I waited to go to a midnight launch. Well, it turns out that GameStop now, for that launch, opened at 11 o'clock. You could buy the game at 11 o'clock because they knew that the install for it would take about an hour. So when I went and picked it up at midnight, I didn't actually get to play it until like 2 in the morning, and by that time, and then... At first, I installed that, and then I got the ready to play option, and then turns out there's a three gig day one patch, and by the time I did all that, I'm just like, you know what, screw this, you know, I'm just going to bed, and so I didn't actually play it till the next day, till like the morning,
and that's crazy. That to me, right there is crazy.
I think that's another one of my big, complaints with this current gen now is the install. And again, I don't know what Sony and Microsoft were thinking when they came out with, we're going to give you a 500 gig hard drive. And then people were already maxing out their hard drives from day one. And now it's like, now they're like, well, now we're going to give you the 1000 gig or the one, no, not 1000 gig, the 1 terabyte.
Right.
Which that's what you should have been giving us out of the box in the first place.
Which still blows my mind that Nintendo beat y'all when the Wii U came out and was just like, you could go up to 2 terabytes of external hard drive on day one of the sale of the system. It did all the updates and stuff and everything like that. And it was just like, hold on, 2 terabytes of external hard drive space and we don't have to, all we got to do is plug it in, let the system read it, good to go. And yet, Microsoft does
the same thing now. But that was one of their early system updates. So, like I have a 2 terabyte on my Xbox One right now, and it was just like that. There's like a little thing on the side of my Xbox One where it's got the USB 3.0, and you just pop that right in, and now all my information goes to the two terabyte. Do you have a PS4 or you still got the PS3?
I still got the PS3. I'm going to get a PS4 probably next year. I want to get one later on this year, but there's nothing there.
Right.
I know, like I said to you, I'm planning on getting an Xbox One before I get a PS4.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth. It's like, To be quite honest, if I, you know, to choose, I'd probably get a Wii U before I get a PS4. And because for the same thing, there's still stuff on the Wii U that I'd still like to play compared to, like you said, there's really nothing on the PlayStation platform that I can't already get elsewhere. For instance, if I, like their Final Fantasy VII, and not the big fancy one that's 7 years away or right. more. They're finally going to put on the final on the PlayStation 4. They're giving us the Final Fantasy VII that you've already been able to download off of Square Enix website for like 3 years now onto like, from the PC.
Why would you put the PC port and you got the original version of PS3 to download? It's not going to look any bit better,
right? Just people, because again, it's just them trying to make money. You know, people will pay for that. And I mean, like, because you know, we talked how I'm a huge Final Fantasy VII fan, so I would that system in my opinion. Would that game, in my opinion, would actually sell systems? Back when I saw the tech demo for the PS3, if they would have sat there and said this is coming out for the PS3, me going to Xbox 360 would have never happened. However, now reading up on the information that they've released from Final Fantasy VII now is how like the fans have been clamoring. We just want an HD remake. We're you know it's expensive. Right. But we want an HD remake. But now they're sitting there talking about how the Final Fantasy VII that they're doing now isn't actually what the HD remake that we've all been asking for. They're doing a Final Fantasy VII reimagining. You know, they're going to do voice acting. They're going to change some scenes around. And they're going to try to keep the same important memories. But I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, I understand that you want to keep it fresh. But there's a reason why some of us have been wanting an HD remake that actually appreciated the story or the cutscenes or some of the other stuff. I don't want a reimagining. I really would like to see a proper translated port because if you remember right. back in 97 when it came out, it was rushed, you know. And I think Robot Chicken did one of the greatest spoofs of it ever.
that was amazing. Where
Cloud's working at the McDonald's and Sephiroth comes in. He's like, unpaid
and
they overtime.
The music, yeah. And you got to select. That was everybody. It is, if you don't know, Robot Chicken is on Hulu Plus, so you can watch the episode.
It's one of my favorites. Yeah. And then it's like, but, Sephiroth use unpaid overtime and like even there like they do the little my name is so and I think I want and like they even did the poor trend and even the glitches that were in there and that's right. One of the things is I would have even just went with a properly translated one, you know, or proper port, if you will.
I mean, to me, I would probably go for just an HD remake, it which is fine. If they want to do a reimagine, that's fine too. But the thing with Square Enix is that if they were going to do it like that, I will want them to do it something like Bravely Default,
okay,
graphic style.
I think also and not look just, style, not just that, but I think that's why a lot of us too are like Final Fantasy VII fans, because 7 and 9. And if you go back to the PlayStation 1 era, those are my two favorite. 8, I don't consider that a Final Fantasy game, and that's just my opinion. I also like the Final Fantasy Online games. They shouldn't be a numbered entry into the series because it's not fair that some people don't really want to play the. And nothing against them; they're great games,
right?
But you
and
know,
I, and I have to say, Final Fantasy 14 has one of the best soundtracks of the final. I mean, the Final Fantasy series always had good soundtracks, but 14 is just mind blowingly good.
That reminds me, I still gotta, because I'm still trying to track down Distant Worlds 3. I have Distant Worlds 1 and 2.
Which I need to hear.
Which, I'm working on that for you.
Don't worry, because I need to get you right. Justin.
Yeah, that reminds me of our conversation a few months back when we were sitting in front of Justin's house in the rain coming down all cold. Right. Anyways, but I mean, and again, I think that gets to one of the other topics that we were discussing, is I think that was my problem with Sony's E3 showing this year, was they rode too many. They made the mistake that Microsoft has made in years past, where they rode the coattails of everybody else. For instance, you know what everybody's been waiting for. We want Final Fantasy VII. Well, the promise was made, and it said, and I don't know how many times I have to emphasize this to everybody: play it first on PlayStation 4. And again, you're looking at a game that's 5 to 7 years down the line. So by that time, what are they going to do? Scrap it all up and start making it for PlayStation 5? I mean, because people already pissed off that the 360 and the PlayStation 3 and even the Wii, that life cycle went too long. Because usually the console life cycle is 5 years, and I think they went five to seven years. And they're still going.
And mostly Sony does it, wants to go for 10 years, because the PlayStation went for 10 years, and PlayStation 2 went for 10 years.
To be honest, I think that's more fair to a lot of people. Now, like, going back to when I was a kid, it was cool when you got the new system in 5 years, when, you know, you went Nintendo, and then you went to Super Nintendo. Right. But at that time, you go back to NES, which was 8-bit. And then there was a big difference from 5 years when you went from NES to SNES or Genesis, where, you know, 8-bit to 16-bit, and you were like, right. Oh my goodness, this is... And then I still remember getting back to my wrestling days, when I had the N64, which went from 16 to 64-bit, and then, Sony was 32-bit.
Right.
But you went to that, and I remember I was playing the WCW game, and my dad had walked in. He's like, oh, wow, is this on TV? You know, just, and again, my dad went back to the Atari and the NES games.
Right.
So.
And so we're going to actually take a quick break because we have to go get some water. We will be right back. And we're just still taking a mini break. Just want to address something real quick before we continue on with the show. Once again, thank you guys for tuning in to Optional Opinion. It's always been a blast getting your guys' feedback and hearing that people love the show and things of that nature. I'm kind of going to do a little throwback, some more personal video game history about myself. I know there has been arguments about Metroid Prime Federation Force. Nintendo showed me at E3 last week, and I kind of talked about playing the game when it finally comes out, and Next Level Games are developing it. So I kind of want to talk about people who haven't played Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime, which was done by Retro Games, was kind of their first premiere. They are a second tier, second party to Nintendo. So Nintendo completely owns them. And I kind of talked a little bit about this in some other episodes that I seen. I played like about the first 5-10 minutes of a demo at Sam Goody. And that made me pre-order the game. And what Metroid Prime is, it's kind of supposed to be Samus before she really became known. For some reason, they say it's supposed to take place before Super Metroid or something before Super Metroid. Like one of her earlier missions and stuff. And because Metroid Prime was done in a first-person shooting style, they considered it to be a first-person action or a first-person adventure. It carried a little bit of the mechanics of a first-person shooter, but it didn't really have all of the mechanics. And definitely for me, when I played it, it really blew my mind on how good GameCube games were going to be in the future. I did play Echoes, and I did play 3 Corruption on Wii. But Metroid Prime was just a really great game, and it made me be more adventurous when you were able to scan items and scan different secrets and stuff in the game. And for me, you know, because I like finding things, or I like doing like side missions, or trying to get a lot of information about that world, about that game, Metroid Prime, you know, you could scan stuff to find more about the story, more about the enemies, and on how to defeat them. And it was pretty cool, personally, for me to be able to do that. Those who did have a GameCube and play a lot of the Metroid Prime series can understand why, you know, why it's such a great game. But I can understand why some people are completely upset. A lot of people they said they really wanted a Metroid Prime, a Metroid, you know, style game. And to me personally, I believe that there is a lot of Metroid games already out there. If you really haven't played Super Metroid, I do advise you this summer, take a few days off, or if you are off, if you have a Wii or Wii U, or even a Super Nintendo, pop in Super Metroid and give that game a play. I am going to be going back to that game in July, since I am part of the Nintendo Book Club on Facebook. You know, it was decided unanimously, or it was decided by a lot of people that it would be their first time playing Super Metroid. And Super Metroid, there's really not no story there. You kind of, if you don't know Metroid 1 or Metroid 2, you might not get the understanding of Super Metroid. But once you play Super Metroid, you know, you could come to kind of your conclusion on what the game is all about. And you would learn why that style of game, why people call it a Metroidvania game. You will understand why Symphony of the Night has took that idea of Super Metroid and became that game. So I recommend Metroid Prime. It kind of takes that, but it opens it up in a first person area where it is kind of linear, but you still could go anywhere that you want to if you have the right items. With Super Metroid, it was kind of linear. There are some places that slack because you have to have the right equipment or right weapon to get into it. Those are really two good games, and I know when I get a PS4, or people who do have PC, Axiom Verge, does it. They said that one is a really great 8-bit style game that has the Metroidvania kind of play. Symphony of the Night is on PlayStation 3. That is a definite must play. If you want to know why Jeremy Parrish, when he did Retronauts on 1UP, and Retronauts is still going on, so you can check out that podcast too. Why they call it a Metroidvania game, because Metroid, you know, was the start of that kind of genre. Castlevania, because it had the role-playing arrangement to it, and it had the style of Metroid that you really can't go further into a place until you have that correct weapon or correct equipment and stuff to go in. You couldn't be able to go to that area. You had to still defeat bosses because they added a different level-up ability than Metroid. There's a difference between them, but you can see the similarity of the level design and the style of it. So once again, you know, I can understand why people are upset about Metroid Prime Federation Force. I do, like I said, I do say wait till that game comes out and give it a try. I believe it's going to carry some of the mechanics of Metroid Prime. And if you haven't, if anyone who has the Wii U, the Metroid Prime Trilogy is available for $19.99 on the eShop. So if you do have that, I do recommend downloading that game and getting the feel of the Prime series. Now you have to understand that the trilogy is the Wii kind of version, so you will have Wii controls compared to the game that when you had the GameCube controller. If the, you know a friend, or you know if you are at a retro show and they happen to have Metroid Prime ready to go on a GameCube, I recommend giving that a go too. So I'm going to take another break and I will be right back. And welcome back, everybody. Just talking a little bit about E3 and some other things. I'm actually going to talk to my guest about something that's, I'm sorry about that, that's really going to really surprise him. And this question that I'm going to ask him is, how do you change a gamer's mind about a series?
Like, for instance, what series are you talking about?
Any series. Like, how do you change a person who doesn't like a game series, even though they may have played it for a few minutes? How do you change their mind?
I can talk from experience of how you kill a guy who loves your game series and then completely kills it. I will never touch. For instance, actually, for E3, they were talking about Mass Effect Andromeda, and I said, nope. Nope, not after what you guys did to me in Mass Effect 3. Nope, I swear, Bobby Joe, she had to deal with me for 2 weeks, like it was the end of the world for me. I walked around like everything. I'd be sitting like, man, I want some McDonald's, but fuck Mass Effect. It's like, man, should I get this Final Fantasy 13 too? No, because after what Mass Effect did to me, I don't trust it. And then 13-2 did the same thing that Mass Effect did, where it's like, your choices. You think they matter? But no, the bad guy still wins.
So do you think it's that video game developer who will make a person change their mind on continuing that series? Or do you think that do you think a rental will help you make up your mind?
WB, Mortal Kombat X, I wanted the game because I knew Mortal Kombat, but I didn't. But again, like getting back to like the whole fighting thing, I ended up renting it and pretty much flew through the game and still ended up buying the game because I actually enjoyed the fighting system. But right. To like change someone's perception, it depends on the person's. In my opinion, it depends on what they're looking for in a game. Like for instance, when I played Mass Effect, I was promised since Mass Effect 1 that my choices would matter. And going from Mass Effect 1, which at the time was only on the 360, you couldn't get it on, you couldn't get it anywhere else but Mass Effect 2. You could because EA bought out whatever. But Mass Effect 2, like, my choices did matter. You know, and I was like, wow, this is actually really, this is groundbreaking. This is really cool. Of course, now Dragon Age, also another BioWare game, does the same thing. But, you know, getting into Mass Effect 3, I was like, man, I can't wait to see how this ends. You know, and for that, at that time, and I was in it for the story. At that point, I was so into the story, and I felt like I was betrayed from, I mean, I was one of those people, that's why, like, the whole Destiny, the Destiny thing that we were talking about earlier in the show, that's why I'm, you know, it's deja vu compared to, I remember the Mass Effect 3 ending had such a huge upcry. It was on the news. It's the reason why EA was voted one of the worst companies. And that, remember, let's go back to, that was also the year that BP dropped oil into the Gulf of Mexico. And you're telling me because this ending was so horrible that people sat there and said EA was the worst. But granted, BioWare, they tried. They put a little, and it's actually funny because I was on my time hop on my phone and actually the other day, and it brought up that I now have faith in Mass Effect, but you know what? I'm still not over it like I thought I would be. But to get somebody, my opinion still is, it's the old classic way of advertising. You need word of mouth. So, right. Like, let's say that you play Mass Effect Andromeda. I'll use that because now I'm a bitter gamer.
Yeah.
All right, for that. Or I'm tired of Call of Duty. But, you know, or like, for instance, like, you're like, going back to the gaming stuff. Okay. You have your reasons why you don't play the NHLs or the Maddens or whatever. But it's word of mouth is what's really going to get me to play. Same reason why, you know, back because when the PlayStation 4 came out, after that press conference, if you go back to some of my Facebook comments, I was like, well, Microsoft lost me. I'm going to get a PlayStation 4. Oh, Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out for this. Oh, you know, all this other stuff. I'm getting a PlayStation. Well, you sitting in my home, you'll see that I have an Xbox One. Right. And that was because Microsoft came out, you know, a couple days late, weeks later, whatever, saying, you know, we're listening. We are bad. We messed up. And I think that's really what me as a consumer wants. Is I want to be playing what my friends are playing. And if it's getting good, and not just from a video game review, but like even from like in today's age now with podcasting and YouTube and,
right,
you know, now we have the benefit now of Let's Play, the people that do Let's Plays. So you can actually see. We don't even have to really rent a game anymore. You can just go on YouTube and see what this guy is doing and seeing what he thinks of it.
But I think stuff like that kind of ruins the craft of being a gamer. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, I love seeing people on Twitch. I love watching some of the Let's Plays and using that out on as a strategy if I get stuck somewhere.
Right.
But I just feel that, you know, for me to get a more experience, and I'm guilty of not playing sports games. I definitely, as a gamer like me, should be playing sports games. Not saying that I'm good. I'm terrible at sports games. I'll get my tail whooped. But there's something about, you know, when it comes to sports games, I don't want to play it online.
Right.
I would rather be in the house with you, talking trash, knowing I'm getting my tail kicked, knowing you're going to take a picture of it and show everybody, oh, this dude was talking trash. It's being in that room and having fun with another person. I don't get that with being online with somebody else or just being with a stranger and stuff. So, yes, I am guilty. Now, I can say this about Madden and NHL and stuff like that. The reason why I don't play sports games, and a lot of people are going to find this funny. Oh.
Speaking of tapped out.
You're right. The reason I don't play sports games is that I will fall asleep. Sports games relax me too much, and I will fall asleep. Even playing four quarters, I get my tail whooped in Madden. In NHL, I would get my tail whooped. John is my Blackhawks commentator. You know,
follow me on Facebook. Just follow me on Facebook.
If you follow him on Facebook, and you see, or it's a Blackhawks game, I tell them if I'm at, I love being at Fridays watching the Blackhawks games. It's just something that happens because it's not on purpose or anything. I don't plan it. I go to Fridays and the Blackhawks are playing. I got me a Jack Daniels burger and a Sprite. And I'm watching them play. And when they score the goal, I root for them. I normally don't do that. And and I can tell you, when it's NHL, I barely watch hockey. Right. I just started getting into watching it by being at Fridays.
Right.
When it comes to boxing, I love boxing. I used to watch this anime called Fighting Spirits, and it was all about boxing. If I tried to watch a football game, fell asleep. I do enjoy high school football because I'm in the cold weather and I got to stay up. I enjoy stuff like that. I used to play volleyball. I enjoy volleyball. I love watching it on TV.
There was a really cool game for Nintendo that was a volleyball game. Sorry, I just don't know why that popped in my head when it said volleyball, but that was a good game.
That was the one that, like, you could punch people and stuff. Not Arch Rivals, not that.
Arch Rivals.
I cannot think of it. They like little midget man and stuff like that. And I cannot think of they have a game on NES that, you know, you can hit them in at the bottom and say barf and stuff like that. And I cannot think of that game. But, you know, I into in some of that stuff. But if I play Madden, I'm dead sleep. If I play NHL, I'm dead sleep. Though, because they relax me too much, I don't get that same feeling or that same hype as being in watching it or being in an actual event. Besides watching football and basketball in real life, I would prefer to go to a high school or maybe a college. If I ever get a chance to go to a college game, I will go watch other people play basketball. But if I'm watching on TV, it relaxes me and I fall asleep. And it's the same thing with playing it on a video game system. It relaxes me too much and I fall asleep. Now, if it's something like NBA Jam, I could get hyped about that because it's arcadey and it's very funny, you know, and stuff like that. Hearing you, you know, talk about NHL 15 and, you know, how you and seeing the cover of NHL 16 with the Blackhawks.
Taves and Kane on the cover.
You know, it's, to me personally, definitely here in Illinois, it's going to be hard to find it. I would be surprised. A physical copy. Let me say that first. A physical copy might be hard to find, but knowing EA, they'll probably supply the Midwest like us with a lot of copies.
Probably. But I mean, I'm excited. And again, it's tough. Excuse me. But also, let's not forget that the Stanley Cup is also on the cover. But there is a lot of fans in other towns that are. Or, you know, cities that are angry about this because Taves was on the cover of NHL 10 and Kane was on the cover of NHL 11. So there are people that are mad because, like, oh, they've already been on the cover. Give somebody else a chance. Well, I've always been a supporter that in any of the EA games that the winner of the grand prize at the end of the season, you should have it. Somebody from that team should be on the cover, you know, so like, Tom Brady should be on the cover of Madden 16. Granted, the game might not work because he might deflate your case. But
low blow.
But still, it's just one of those things where I've always. And, I mean, you could have made a case too that Duncan Keith, who since you watched the playoffs, won the Conn Smythe, which is the MVP of the overall playoffs.
Right.
So I mean, Duncan Keith from the Blackhawks could be out there. But then again, these same people are still going to sit there and say, "Oh, well, why this is the third Blackhawk in 6 years?" And it's like, well, start winning, you know. That's what happens when you're consistently winning. You know, I don't need to see some dude from the Buffalo Sabres. And let me tell you, the Buffalo Sabres, they are probably always, until they get better, they are the worst team in the league. I mean, I couldn't tell you anybody on Buffalo. No disrespect to any listeners that are in Buffalo. But you guys don't have anybody on your team that deserves to be on the cover of NHL 16.
Right. Maybe a arcade game.
Maybe. Like well, NBA. I know they did a... They did NHL 3-on-3, which was like an NHL arcade. It was supposed to be like the NHL version of NFL Blitz or NBA Jam.
I kind of like an NHL beat 'em up game.
Oh.
Like, I feel like that would be fun. to do. That would be something very interesting. I miss arcade games like that. Like
NHL 94 was really good. NHL 94 was very, it was the SNES. And I think also for the Genesis. And that one you could, that was the game where if you played Jeremy Roenick as on the Blackhawks, uh-huh. he would always, the trick was to wrap around the goal, and it was always in. But you could do fights, like, whenever. You could just sit there and just go up and start doing the little A-B, and jabbing. So.
And both would get the consequence of the penalty. Yeah, box. The penalty.
Well, I mean, you can still do that in the modern ones, too. Like, now you hit Y to initiate a fight, but it's not the same, because what happens is now in, NHL 14 and NHL 15, what they tried to do was they used the fight night mechanic that they had for the boxing, so now you got to use the right stick and all that stuff.
And it's weird when you were talking about RBI baseball. I think that one had fighting, but because they had to take it out of video games, that's why you never see fighting in baseball games.
They were all fat. They were like not fat, but they were like they remind me of the Weeble Wobbles. Yeah, or, you know, they were the little. Their feet. I think that was just 8-bit games at the time. I mean, that's just how it was. Good times, but
yes, everybody, we're retro gamers. That's our.
This is the retro episode. I thought this was the E3 episode. We went retro instead.
Well, if you want to talk more about E3, we could talk some more about E3. I gave my opinions about E3. You can listen to that on the Anonymous Radio Network, Podbean.com. You can check that out. I gave my grading on there, and I gave my reasons. But let's talk about E3 from our special guest point of view. What did you think of E3 this year?
You know, to be honest, not really a lot of surprises. I mean, there was a lot of hype. For instance, we touched base with Square Enix. When they put out their big announcement, I watched that, and here I was thinking that it was like the big surprise would be Chrono Trigger. Because they were using Frog's theme, and I was like, yes, Chrono Trigger. Because believe it or not, I prefer Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
I mean, I have that game on the DS. I love that game. 16 different endings. Whew, 17 on the DS. Anyways, but I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, please, with Frog. And then they're like, Final Fantasy VII. And I was like, cool. And I was like, play it on PlayStation first. And I was like, oh, well, that's a good one for Sony. And then Sony was like, yep, and now you get console. Well, that you could play the new Call of Duty maps first on Sony. And I'm sitting here like, okay, so now you did your mic drop 2 years ago on Microsoft when Microsoft came out and they messed up royally, royally messed up, you know, and Sony had all the momentum, you know, and then what did they do? They came out and they did a Microsoft of old press conference. You want to play stuff first here? You know, okay, it's like they're copying what Microsoft did in the previous generation, if you will.
And to me, when it comes to Call of Duty making an announcement, undoing exclusives, it's always maps. And I feel like this is a drinking game.
Right.
Really. Because if we know that we're going to get another Call of Duty, and guess what's going to be exclusive? Maps.
Right.
Like
Timed exclusive.
Exclusive. Maps. Really? Haven't you did this for the last four conferences that you did Call of Duty?
And now even you can tell, like, Call of Duty now is reminding me of Hollywood. Because now even Call of Duty can't come out with anything original. Because now Treyarch, because, you know, they were switching from Infinity Ward to Treyarch Infinity Ward. And, you know, Infinity Ward started doing Modern Warfare. And then Treyarch did Black Ops. Then Infinity Ward did Modern Warfare 2. Then Treyarch did Black Ops 2. Then Infinity Ward did Modern Warfare 3. And then, where am I at? Modern Warfare 3. And then Treyarch decided, okay, whoa. We're going to do Ghosts. All right, let's mess this up a little bit. We're going to do Ghosts. And then Infinity Ward was like, well, we ain't going to mess with a good thing. So we're going to do Modern Warfare. Guess what? Modern Warfare. Anyone want to take a guess? Advanced Warfare. No, there was a fourth. There was a fourth Modern Warfare. Did I say that already? Anyway, they went Advanced Warfare, which is still the same. So, of course, Treyarch's like, well, they seem to know what they're talking about. So, you know what we're going to do? Black Ops 3.
And to me, none of them are. I have actually played Modern Warfare 2. And I did. And I didn't shoot anyone in the airport, which was just stupid in the first place. But I guess. And I don't know why people made that such a big deal.
I think it was because it was shortly after the the World Trade Center bombings. I think that's why it was such a big deal.
But it's just modern war. The Call of Duty series has just failed flat. It's literally a drinking game.
But that's what Activision does. Because I mean, look at Guitar Hero. One of the biggest, one of the most innovative, next to something that Nintendo do was probably the most innovative thing for the previous generation from PlayStation 3 and 360. And then, you know, Guitar Hero, and that was like, what, Harmonix, Activision, Red Linux, I think. Yeah. And like MTV, like that was like a huge partnership. And then, you know, we did Guitar Hero 2 a couple years later. It went back to PlayStation 1 and was it PS2? No, PS2 and all that. Okay, and then it went out. Okay. And then we got Guitar Hero 2. And then, you know, when Harmonix broke off and Activision still kept the rights to Guitar Hero, I'm like, well, we're going to pump this out. Well, the problem that Activision made was they started pumping out Guitar Heroes like they were pumping out Call of Duties. You know, compared to Harmonix was like, here's Rock Band 1, here's Rock Band 2, here's Rock Band 3, and now here's our music library, and we're not going to do anything else. And now they're doing, and then, you know, awfully convenient that all of a sudden, you know, Rock Band 4 has been announced for the next gen or current gen.
Guitar Hero,
but they're doing something typically different. But more power to Harmonix is Harmonix went to Sony and Microsoft and sat there and said, look, we don't want to screw our fan base. Is there a way that you can get our previous peripherals to work? Microsoft is like, yeah, we'll make it happen. So anybody who still has a Rock Band 1 or 2 or 3 drum kit, guitar, microphone, or even a little keyboard or whatever, it will work on the current gen now, which...
But, no, and this may just be me, listeners, but it feels that if Nintendo brought out another Elite Beat Agents, that would knock Rock Band and Guitar Hero kind of just, like, way off. Like, Elite Beat Agents was so good, and a lot of people want a sequel, but because it didn't sell well. Right. And a lot of people just, like... You know,
that kind of answers your own question. Here you're talking about and again, like you said, it was your opinion. You just sat here and you said that if Elite Beat Agents came out, it would knock Rock Band and Guitar Hero off, and it was a good game. I played it. However, if it didn't sell well, what makes you think that a game that didn't sell well is going to...
Because that's the thing about it is people have been clamoring for Elite Beat Agents because of what Rock Band Guitar Hero did to the music genre. It killed it. It oversaturated it. And it's just like, you gave us this stuff. You fed us. We ate it up. Because we wanted to feel like rock stars. Like we was having fun. But then you left us hanging, and you left a bad taste in our mouth. Because
I would say that was more on... I think that would be more on Activision's part. Because...
Yeah.
Because Harmonix, they were still putting out DLC packs every Tuesday for the longest time. Like, they just recently... And, like, still, they would filter out a couple song tracks here and there. And, I mean, and for instance, like I said, Harmonix, give them credit... is like they're working really closely with Sony and with Microsoft that all the songs that I have the 500 gig hard drive on my or the 300 gig hard drive on my 360, and half of that is music from Rock Band, and whatever music that Harmonix still has, they're working on the licensing agreements and stuff, and whatever they still keep the licensing agreement. All that music is going to transfer over to the Xbox One free of charge. They're not going to sit there and do like what Minecraft did, where, granted, I got it at a discount price where I had to pay $5 if I already paid the $20 for it. But like Pinball FX 2, for instance, in my case, and I think also in Sony's case, they also did it where you get the pinball tables from your previous generation were transferred for free onto the current. And like that's one of the cool things that like 2K did with Borderlands, with the once they went to the Handsome Collection, which was Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel. If you had Borderlands 2 with your cloud saves, you could transfer your character from 360 to Xbox One or from PS3 to PS4. So there's quite a few games that allow you to do it. But I think getting back to, and I think that's one of the reasons why I think Microsoft, in my opinion, scored higher than Sony, because getting back to my original thing about, you know, I want to hear that these companies are actually listening to us. And for Microsoft, and the big announcement that Microsoft came out, if you will, their mic drop to Sony was backwards compatibility. And it'll be rolled out by the holiday. Granted, Nintendo's been doing it for a while, and they found their way. And I agree with you. Nintendo and their little and their puppets killed it. All right, they killed it at E3.
Everybody wants to bring that back again.
You're right. I'm not going to even argue with your point that Nintendo killed it. I mean, for me personally, I'm also excited to see Hyrule Warriors on the 3DS. That's going to be pretty cool.
And I'm guilty of buying it again.
Yeah.
And like I said about. On another episode, keep going back to all these episodes that I did. But Hyrule Warriors is that it got people a lot into the Miso games and into that Dynasty Warrior games. People laughed at this. Just like, what is Nintendo doing? Okay, Nintendo won me over. There's people were started playing it and it did good in sales.
I've been a fan of the Dynasty Warriors series for a while, and my brother actually, he was a huge fan of the Gundam Wing series. So yeah. When they did Dynasty Warriors Gundam, he's like owned like 5 different copies of that game because, you know, he gets tired of it, gets rid of it, and then, oh, I really want to play Dynasty Warriors Gundam, so then he picks it back up. but I mean, that's the thing that Nintendo has too, is their first party games. They're so good that you'd put any, you know, I mean, this, I'm not very, very excited about the Triforce Warriors or whatever that's coming up.
Yeah, Triforce Heroes.
Triforce Heroes, because that from what people have said that got hands on, is it's not what they were hoping for, but it's still gonna sell. You know, it's probably, they're saying it's as bad as Four Swords. So, and I was never a fan of the Four Swords adventures.
I think you have more of a better advantage than someone like me, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because you have sons who also family members who also have a 3DS within your household,
right?
If they're not used to the Zelda gameplay on how the Legend of Zelda series works, this is good training for it.
Right. So pretty much the only person I can play with is Eddie, because everybody else in this house has played Zelda. Everybody. Okay.
But the thing about it is that you guys all together collectively get to experience the puzzles and be able to work as a team. Now, how that turns out is going to be comedically funny.
Right.
And that's the purpose. It's all about fun. And you everybody know that Nintendo is all about fun. Me personally, I'm gonna have to go online and play with other people or try to meet up with people and be like, did you guys get Triforce Heroes? Okay, let's try to solve, where are you guys at? Let's try to solve this together.
Right.
You know, and that's my thing about it. You know, so it's kind of, it's more beneficial to you than it is to me.
Right, but it's also more pricey for me than it is for someone like you. I gotta buy 4 copies of the same game.
Well, actually, well,
hold on, four copies.
That I can say, catching on the buy one get one free.
There we go. Sale. let me know when the holiday when that happens. You'll be texting, be like, come to Highland Park. I got it for you.
But that's kind of the thing. And getting back to Rock Band real quick before we move on. Again, I would love for Rock Band and Guitar Hero to go more after the indie bands.
Rock Band started doing that because in the Rock Band music store, they actually started having it where the community can do creation. Like, they would make it, they would submit it, and they would send it to Harmonix, and Harmonix would program it. I mean, Harmonix was all about the music, so they actually had a lot of indie bands.
Right.
Compared to Activision, because I think they were still partnered up with MTV at the time. They were still going for the big name music, all like the Metallica and Aerosmith. And I think that's another reason why I actually had more respect for Harmonix and Rock Band, because they did exactly what you said. They were doing the indie artist or the, you know, like the local band that, you know, here, can you please put our music out there?
And right.
So, and I mean, and they did like the featured artist. I mean, and there was a few songs down there that were actually from indie artists that they put in there. So, I mean, you know, I like how they peppered that in where they had some big name song from big name musicians and you'd get like a little well-known song. And then there was like this one song that you've never heard of and you're like, this is actually pretty cool. Who sings this? You know?
Sorry about
so,
that.
I mean, that's the one thing I do miss. Because, and again, I was really into music. I still am into music. But, I mean, at the time when that came out, I also, I mean, I was so into Rock Band. I had the stage kit, the fog machine, the laser light show. It was, you know, me and my buddy Brian would sit there and we put mirrors up so the laser lights would bounce off the mirrors and the whole... His wife would come home and she'd be like, "What the hell are you guys doing?" Because it's like it would be all, the whole living room would be all covered in smoke.
Yeah.
He'd be sitting there on the drums. I mean, and again, it was just like how you had said with like how the new Triforce Heroes should be. It's one of those games that was more fun when you had people there because just to see the craziness that ensued, which was right. Funny. And that's one of the things that Guitar Hero kind of, like I said, they tried to turn into Call of Duty. And I didn't want Guitar Hero 4, Guitar Hero World 2, or Guitar Hero Aerosmith, Guitar Hero Metallica.
The Guitar Hero Beatles, that was just, I'm like, okay, this is just too much.
Rock Band Beatles.
But
what I liked about Rock Band, like when they did with Rock Band Beatles and Rock Band Green Day Edition, is you were able to take the music from there, that there's no code, and she liked Rock Band Beatles. And you can take the music and import it to Rock Band 3. Unfortunately, the Beatles music license agreement is up, so that won't transfer, as far as I know, to Rock Band 4. But I know the Green Day one will. I'm looking forward to October. I know what I'm going to probably want for Christmas, you know. And again, just because I can dust off my old plastic instruments and sit here with the family and pretend that we're rocking the world.
Well, someone's getting a certain gift when it gets close to their birthday, but I won't say who and what it is.
I don't know whose birthday is on August 24th with Gears of War Remaster coming out on the 25th. I don't know who you're talking about.
I have not
one. I don't know anybody.
I have not one idea.
Oh, the beta was fantastic. It was only eight days, but it was really cool. The multiplayer is still very, very... And for people that were fans of the original, it's still very faithful and true to the original. They added a couple little minor adjustments, like the tag, your target. But there's still a lot of people. And again, getting back to like what I had said earlier on my optional opinion soapbox, where people with their opinions, you can't please everybody. There's people that want Gears because of how we got the Halo Master Chief collection. Now there's people that think that what they should do is just do a Gears of War complete collection. You know, give us Gears 1, 2, and 3. I would love that to happen, but as I've told you many times in the past, Gears 3, in my opinion, even with the DLC, was probably the most complete game without DLC I've ever played. You know, you could play that game, and that was one of those games that I had no problem paying for extra maps.
Yeah.
Compared to like Call of Duty, where you know you're getting maps anyway, and it was like in Gears, it was like get the skin pack with these characters, and it's like in Call of Duty, it's just four maps, $20, you know,
which was weird because in order for you to play those maps with your friends and other people, they also had to have it.
Right.
So Activision was kind of making bucks, like for eight people. That's $160 already.
I think that's where Destiny and I think Titanfall ticked me off. Because I bought the season pass for Titanfall because I love Titanfall. And I'm looking forward to when Titanfall 2 comes out. So for you Sony owners out there, you can actually... For the Sony fanboys out there that got all mad and bashed how crappy Titanfall was because Microsoft owners got it, but you guys will be the first in line to get it when you can get it on PlayStation 4. You guys are in for a treat. But the thing I was disappointed about with Titanfall was I paid for the DLC, the map pack, and then eventually they just gave it away to everybody. But they also added a bunch of new modes. And that, I think that's one thing I liked about Respawn was, like, you paid for... But what they did with their DLC was you paid for the maps, but if they add a new game mode, everybody got it. If they added new custom skins, everybody got it. So they didn't sit there and make it where, well, sucks to be you since you didn't pay. Right. And I can get behind that. You know, don't punish, you know, if you're trying to build a gaming community. And I think that's one of the things that I think 343 just sat there and said with Halo 5 is they don't want to alienate the community. So they're going to do their maps. They're going to be free. and I mean, and that's an article I just recently read not too long ago, which makes sense. You know, why alienate your community?
Right.
I mean, we'll see that probably change as we get closer to Halo 5.
And I would still say this. Halo 4 reminds me of Metroid Prime. And I don't care what people liked it or hated it. I think Halo 4 still looks good.
Oh, I have the Master Chief Collection, and it looks really good with the HD.
When I seen the trailer and of the gameplay of it, I was just like, this is really good. And I'm not a big Halo player. I have my gripes with Halo 1 if you listen to this episode early.
Wait, what? You mean like the Warthog? About driving that about awesome tank?
Well, the thing about it is, it's just like I'm not into Halo. I do own the first and second game. But it's just like it wore out its welcome with me. I feel like Halo 1 definitely was just too long.
I like the story.
The story is wishy-washy, probably because I wasn't really into sci-fi at that time.
Okay, makes sense.
I would play the Halo Master Chief Collection when they get their stuff together.
Actually, it was really cool. And again, what's cracking me up is, okay, again, playing the beta, and so I don't know how some, I guess the generation now where some people feel, again, the social media, and I hate to make it sound like I'm bashing or I'm old, but people forget they're playing a beta. And people were up there like, oh, well, this is wonky, or this shotgun's too powerful, or my gun. I mean, you know, I was playing, and the boys were watching me play it a couple times, and they saw, like, how I'd be shooting a shotgun to this dude's face, and he wasn't dying, or I was getting stuck in a wall. But you didn't see me getting all pissed off about it. You know, I mean, I was getting upset, like, frustrated, like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. But, you know, you didn't see me go on the beta that I'm participating on and complaining to...
Right.
To the coalition who's now doing it, saying, fix your game. I'm participating in a beta. These are the issues I'm supposed to bring up. So, right. You know, so I bring it up. But then you got people on the same board sitting there like, this game is stupid. I'm not buying it. You guys have ruined the game. Just like 343.
It's an early developmental game. They give you an idea of what right. to expect. And once things are fixed, we're going to deliver the highest right. quality. Because I give it up to 343. I really do. I give it up to that studio for taking on Halo 4 and Halo 5. And
Halo 6. And Halo 6.
Are they doing the Halo 6?
Halo 4 was the start of a new trilogy.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know when Halo 6 would be here. But I give it up to 343 to taking this huge franchise and making it their own, but still promising and delivering great quality of a game.
Well, I think also that I give credit, and again, same people bashing 343 saying that they killed the Halo franchise with Halo 4. And because, again, the Master Chief Collection, as you mentioned, it came out with a lot of bugs. But I give 343 credit because you also have to put in consideration at the time, they were only trying to release Halo 2. The original project was they were just going to do the Halo 2 Anniversary Edition. And then Microsoft came up to them and said, hey, would you guys be willing to do this? And they're like, we can do it. We can do that. And when they launched the game, obviously it has problems. Well, recently, as a thank you for dealing with us, and we're sorry, they sent me and everybody else the digital code to get Halo 3 ODST, the story campaign, for free. They didn't have to do that. I mean, they could have still sat there and charged another $40 for DLC that campaign.
The thing I definitely give it up to 343 is that when they got word of all these problems, they worked hard to get on it.
They're still working on it. And one of the cool things, too, was the Halo 5 beta that was also on there was running on a different server, and I think it was really smart of them to do the beta a year before the game launches, so you know what problems you have. So obviously now that they knew that they had this problem with the Master Chief Collection, they know not, you know, well, if we're going to launch this game, we can't have these problems, especially since Halo to Microsoft is what Mario is to Nintendo.
Right.
And, you know, Nintendo would never have released the Mario Collection, you know, and with that many issues, but Nintendo would have done exactly what 343 did if it happened. We're sorry, we're working on it, and there was constant updates. There was hourly updates that we'd try this patch. This patch didn't fix everything, so we're taking this. So it wasn't like that we were in the dark. I mean, it was, you wanted to know, 343 on their Facebook page, on their forums, on their Twitter, Even on the message of the day, they were letting you know what they were working on hourly. You know,
they did it better than Assassin's Creed Unity, because Unity, they just kept making up excuses. The stuff was still buggy, and I think one point they had to do a patch for a patch they released because the patch was.
And then because they felt so shitty, what they ended up doing was they stopped selling the season pass, because what they did is people who bought that and the season pass, they ended up giving them a free game. And I was so mad because I wanted the season pass, but I didn't pick it up because then I could have got like Far Cry 4 or something. But as you said, I'd have to learn how to hold my breath with the trigger buttons. And
so, any more thoughts about E3?
Gears 4 looks good from the teaser trailer. I mean, it was nice to see gameplay trailers. Of course, a lot of people are saying that it looks a lot like Resident Evil. I was actually really surprised to see Bethesda there. The only downfall with that one was that, I mean, everybody and their mom knew that they were going to announce Fallout 4.
Yeah.
But I was a little bummed that they even revealed Fallout 4 before they even made it to the press floor. You know, like, the surprise was already gone.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see it. I know a lot of people are, because, I mean, Fallout Shelter, the iOS and Android game, is, like, one of the, I guess they just released it, like, almost, like, quite a few.
70 million.
Yeah, I'm one of them. It's a lot like, I don't know if you ever played Tiny Death Star, which was very similar to Tiny Tower. It's not bad. I played it for a little bit. I'm looking closer to probably like Fallout 4 time. I wouldn't be surprised if they do like what like WB is notorious for right now, is if you have a WB Play account. For instance, like if you play like Injustice, going back to like Injustice, there was, if you played it on the mobile game, that was, you would unlock character skins or other characters that you can play exclusive on Injustice. And then they did the same thing with Mortal Kombat X, Mortal Kombat 10. You can unlock Classic Melina, Classic Katana, Injustice, Scorpion by playing the mobile game. And then, actually, it was funny that I just played Arkham Knight, and I synced up my account, and it was like, boom, here you go. You just unlocked anime Batman. So I have, like, the Batman anime character skin.
Oh, okay.
And then since I bought the DLC, or the season pass for Arkham Knight, I also got Flashpoint Batman, which is one of my favorite Batmans. The Flashpoint storyline is probably one of the best DC stories. But anyway, this is optional opinion, not talk comic books. So,
which I need to. I wonder, are they doing Flashpoint in a graphic novel?
Yeah, I have it. If you want to borrow it, I can pull it up for you before you go. Oh, so
I got to take a look at that. I have to browse that. I should
browse
say.
That.
any more thoughts? Square Enix, EA, Ubisoft.
I think again, like we had said, there wasn't really a lot of surprises. I mean, like I said, the big surprise to me personally was the promise that Square Enix made about Final Fantasy VII. But again, that's 7, 8, whatever many years down the line.
Right.
I mean, I'm still looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean, hopefully that's coming out sooner rather than later. But I mean, even like I said, for me personally, besides, like, you know, Microsoft came out and, like I said, impressed me. And again, I'm a bit biased towards Microsoft. But I mean, even that controller was nice until they showed that price point. And I'm like, I don't. I love myself some Gears, and I know a few people that love Call of Duty, but not enough to go spend out half a system to go get a controller.
And I wonder if that controller was just designed for first-person shooters.
But from what I've gathered, that controller too is supposed to actually supposed to come bundled in with Xbox One's after October when it launches.
When the new one launches,
because I think they're also going to do like the new Xbox One's too are going to start having a. The terabyte hard drives built in. And I know that, like, there was, like, what they announced a few, I think they announced a few, like, special console designs or whatever, too, I think, for PlayStation 4 and Microsoft. I'm not necessarily sure. I know there's, like, a white Xbox One coming down the pipeline or something.
Right.
But, again, there was, like, really nothing. There was nothing that was, like, oh, man, I can't believe this is happening. You know, like, oh, did you see that? I mean, I think what we got from this E3 was the big three that are confident where they're at. They know which direction they're going.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, it's good for gamers all around. I mean, Granted, Sony's conference wasn't like, oh my God, but I mean, they pretty much came out like they showed Last Guardian. Which everybody wanted to see.
Right.
Granted, was not impressed with Last Guardian, but they showed Last Guardian exists. That's just like if Valve came out and showed just, you know, like Half-Life 3 exists, you know. You know, that thing's just like, is it going to happen? Is it? Is it not?
I don't think. I can actually say this. I think Half-Life 3 would never happen. It's just not going to happen.
I agree.
I have no hopes of that ever coming to
fruition. I know Zen Pinball just released I got to get a point card now that I'm thinking about it. the Portal Pinball table.
Right.
But, I mean, all in all, I mean, I can't really say that I was disappointed, because I wasn't. I mean, it was nice. I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm excited for, but it wasn't one of those. I think, to be honest, in my opinion, I was more excited watching the NHL Awards yesterday when they finally showed who was going to be on the cover of NHL 16 than I was at anything I saw at E3. Wow. And, but, like I said, I don't want to make it sound like E3 sucked, because it didn't.
Can you say that this E3, even though I love E3, I always love E3. I love you reading it in EGM. Now that we're living in a digital age, we all could watch it like we're part of the conference and stuff. This year, definitely for Microsoft and Sony. I won't say much for Nintendo because we know what they're planning to do for 2015. It seems that everything they release is all for next year. And it worried, now it's back to me being worried about what did you guys have for this year? Not saying that they, you know, of course we got Fallout, of course we got Call of Duty, but there's nothing that's like, besides those two and Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah,
what is standing out for August to December?
Well, I know, like, especially. Like, August, I know we get Gears. But it's a remaster. But we got Gears, which is a remaster. And then August 4th, you get the Rare Replay. And they're, like, you know, for $30. I mean, that's 30 full games for $30.
Right.
That's $1 a game. And, I mean, I'm talking, like, full Conker's Bad Fur Day. You get the three Banjo-Kazooie games, Battletoads, and quite a bit. Blast Corps, Perfect Dark Zero. I mean, they're not HD remakes or anything, but I mean, I think that's the one thing that Microsoft kind of put a Band-Aid on, if you will, is, granted, like you said, their announcements weren't until next year, but this holiday, you do get backwards compatibility. And right. I mean, and you know, we're getting the new Assassin's Creed, because Assassin's Creed now has become Ubisoft's Call of Duty. I would like to see them skip a year of Assassin's Creed and give us a break with that. I mean, I love the Assassin's Creed franchise. But at the same time, you know, too much of a good thing eventually rots your teeth. You know,
pretty much. And that was the reason why I gave, and you guys can hear my reasons on why I gave Ubisoft a D- this year. Like, I think, you know, I gave Square Enix a B, and I gave.
Didn't they announce Bravely Default too? Also.
It's been announced, but they didn't show it at the conference.
Okay.
They just didn't even present it.
Oh, yeah, and I'm looking forward to Nintendo's, what is it, the crossover, the Mario Paper Mario and Mario...
Paper Jam. Mario and Luigi's
Paper Jam. I'm looking forward to that one.
That's the thing that I give it to Nintendo. They focus on what we're getting this holiday. So we already know what we could save up and get. We're already mad at Japan and Europe.
Well, the thing is because, actually, to be honest, Microsoft, though, because their thing is what we're getting this holiday season, they announced last year at E3, you know, we're getting Halo 5 and Forza 6 and...
Forza 6 was announced this year.
Forza 6, yeah, sorry. But, again, but I think that's the thing that Microsoft got that they actually took from Nintendo is... You got to focus on your first party, you know, because your first party games are going to sell more. You know, you put Mario on anything for Nintendo and it's practically gold,
right?
You know, or you put Link on something, or, you know, like the fans now are clamoring where they want another Metroid. And I think that's the one thing right now that Microsoft at least has, is they do have Master Chief. And you put Master Chief in anything, it's going to sell.
It's going to sell.
And, yeah. And now that they – and the, probably the other smart thing that they went ahead and done was they bought the Gears of War franchise off of Epic, and they and now they're treating Gear – and I think that's the thing that Microsoft – while some people might not like it, that shows the respect that Microsoft actually has to the community as a whole, as a fan base, is they know that Gears and Halo are their babies. You know, and so they have an entire studio that is dedicated to making those brands a game. That's it. You're never going to see 343 presents GoldenEye or but, you know, and I mean, I think that's kind of at one point in time what Microsoft was hoping to do with Rare was to have Rare make Kinect games. But Rare has such a bad, has that history of always needing more time or always delayed. I mean, I can't think of a game from Rare. Well, actually, the Rare games are Kinect. Like, the last game that I think they did for Microsoft was Perfect Dark Zero, and that was a 360 launch title.
No, they did
Nuts and Bolts, maybe?
They did Nuts and Bolts. They did the Paper Machete.
Viva Pinata. Oh, and both Viva Pinata games are going to be on the Rare Replay also.
And see, so. that one was surprised everybody.
Right.
And that really did, was really good and very successful. I think this year, I see the Monster Hunter 4 for 3DS. If you own the new 3DS, it's a pickup. Get that game. I really want that on Wii U. I want it on 3DS when I finally get that system, but I want it for Wii U. It's really going to be weird because I'm like, I hope that what Sony and Microsoft and other third parties, what they present this holiday season will be worth it. We don't need the buggy mess that we had last year. And then Nintendo just steamrolled everybody. Just like, to me personally, when it comes to shooters, at the top of the list right now is Splatoon.
Did you hear about the hacker that hacked into it and now made white paint? Like, all the paint is white right now in Splatoon?
I haven't.
I was reading about that earlier today. I think on IGN.
I'll have to read it today when I get home. Yeah, Splatoon is kind of... If we go by FPSs, I think Splatoon right now is at the top. It's like it's number one. Because... Congratulations to Nintendo on a new releasing a new IP and it being a million seller, where it's been sold out of Japan, it's sold really good here, and it's sold very well in Europe. So, you know, congratulations to Nintendo for that. I even congratulated Sony on Bloodborne, and
but Bloodborne again isn't really, like you said, isn't really a Sony property. It's just from the guys who made Dark Souls, and then they also came out and they announced Dark Souls 3. Right. Which, again, so...
Which now I wonder if people are people still playing The Witcher 3. So that's...
The Witcher 3, I know... I did not like... I didn't care much for Witcher 2, so I was in no hurry to get Witcher 3, and I still am not. I think, you know, and especially now with the family and stuff, too, it's... I have to pick and choose my battles, you know, which game I want to... Because it's kind of difficult, especially with the little one. You know, my game time doesn't start from 10 o'clock. It doesn't start till 10 o'clock. And then, you know, then 1, 2 o'clock in the morning come rolling around real quick.
So, before we go, and thank you for your answers for... E3. Just two more questions before we go. What do you think E3 2016 should be about? I already know definitely Nintendo will be talking more about NX, their new system.
Oh, that's I had to bring that up too. I'm glad you did. One of the cool things was in one of the Nintendo press conferences. I was just reading an article again about this too on IGN. Uh-huh. The reason why they didn't mention it, and it was again with their business owners or their stockholders, one of them had asked, how come we didn't talk about that at E3? And Nintendo sat there and said, because it's very innovative. There's a lot of stuff that we're excited about, but we didn't want to announce anything because we don't want our competitors to know what we're working on. Right. Which, you know, I give Nintendo a lot of credit for that because, again, game design or consoles, again, it's very competitive. I mean, it's no surprise that Harmonix says Rock Band 3 or Rock Band 4 is coming, and then Guitar Hero is coming. Like, there's an announcement, like, a week later. Right. So, you know, and then whatever. I mean, look at the Wii, it sold so well because of the motion controls, and then all of a sudden you had the PS Move, and then Microsoft started working on the Kinect. Granted, and then Microsoft tried to focus more on the Kinect, and the Kinect, it's cool, but they just haven't found a way to really integrate it like the Wii controllers did.
Right.
So going into next year, probably Nintendo, like you said, with the NX, and probably like you said, it'd probably be Sony and Microsoft talking about, if I was a gambling man, we'll probably hear new Call of Duty and which console's getting the exclusive maps first.
Right.
Hopefully we hear Microsoft talks about some new IP, some new IP. Probably another Assassin's Creed. Pretty much more of the same is where we're at, in my opinion.
Do you think that Microsoft and Sony should do a pre-digital before they go into E3? Like Nintendo does a Nintendo right, Direct, and they sometimes do like little, how they're going to do their announcements.
Right.
And sometimes, if a lot of people don't know that, Japan got a Nintendo Direct, and then the following day, America kind of got the same Nintendo Direct. Bill Trennan, he did it, but he was like really small, and then they focused in on him because he was trying to do like Chibi Robo,
right?
And how he announced that, and kind of the stuff that they announced pre-show in May, they didn't focus on that stuff because it was already announced in Japan. Do you think that Sony and Microsoft should do something like that in May? Just announce some of the stuff, just a little side stuff, so that it doesn't become part of this show that we're going to think it's boring.
I think Microsoft does something similar to that already. If you on their console, I don't know much about Sony yet, but the funny thing is. Like you said, how I watched the Blackhawks and stuff, is again, when it comes to that stuff, it's a lot like when a general manager talks to another general manager about making a trade.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those hypothetically, if I want to trade this guy, would you take that guy? And then, but of course, you swear them to secrecy. So by the time we get to E3 next year, Microsoft, we're sitting there talking about, well, hypothetically, what if we did Halo 6? What if, don't tell anybody, but we might be working on a Halo 6 sometime down the road. Well, then that guy tells somebody and says, don't tell anybody. And then, of course, that guy tells somebody who does says, don't tell anybody. Next thing you know, you're looking on Kotaku, or I think I said that right, or IGN, or EGM, or GameSpot, or any of the numerous game sites. And they're like,
right.
You know, we have it from a source, a very reliable source, that Microsoft is working on Halo 6, or Sony's working on God of War 5, or whatever, you know, or Nintendo's working on Mario versus, you know, Mario and Disney have partnered up to do a Mario and Mickey game, you know, Epic Mickey starring Mario or whatever, you know.
Right.
So it's just one of those things that it's in today's age again with the social media, is nothing's actually a secret. I mean, granted, Nintendo does really good with their Nintendo Directs, where they're telling them how to talk to you up front, but a lot of the stuff that Nintendo is already talking about, a game site has already sat there, you know, and already broke the story. I mean, same thing with like the Gears of War remaster that I'm excited about. I knew about that weeks before E3, even though there were still rumors that it was gonna be like the Marcus Fenix collection, but people still knew it was coming, and then we were hoping that there was gonna be a Gears of War 4 eventually, so. I honestly don't really think that a Microsoft Direct, if you will, or a Sony Direct would help them too much because if you really think about it, when you go into E3, Sony and Microsoft are where all eyes are on. So I think Nintendo has that kind, and they know that. They embrace that, if you will, that they know that those are the two big guys, and now we're the old guy that, you know, people still respect us, but, you know, we're grandpa in the old folks' home, where let the young guys do something, and we'll talk to you guys. We'll educate you the right way with our way. You know,
right.
We do things more old school still, because Nintendo still, at the end of the day, is still a toy company.
Yes.
So, and every way works. But again, at the same time, let's say that going forward, Microsoft or Sony did do that. Then, of course, you know, we're doing an optional opinion, you know, in a year's time. And then, of course, me being, you know, you being you and me being me, you're like, well, looks like Microsoft and Sony's copying Nintendo because Nintendo knows how to do everything right. So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's,
like I said, opinions do right. change. That's why I always say, given options to these things, whether they hear them or not, whether they come true or not, it's always good. I'm like, if you're going to always give your opinion, make sure that you have some kind of solution
right.
that's reasonable.
Well, let's not forget about some of Nintendo's big, when they tried to go balls to the wall, if you will, at E3.
Yeah.
You know, remember Mario Music?
Wii Music.
Remember how awesome that was and how much a fiasco that one was?
I cannot tell you, it sold well.
From what I heard, it was a flop. Maybe in Japan it sold well. But.
It was a flop, but it sold well enough that even though it was a different time at the area, a lot of people just didn't get it. Some of the mechanics and stuff didn't work. You know, it was just like...
It wasn't like Donkey Kong with the bongos.
I think about it just like this game wasn't for adults. This game was for children and introducing them to music. Not a lot of people... And I would say this because me working at a toy store, I had a lot of people come up to me asking for Wii Music. I had music teachers coming up to me asking for Rock Band and Guitar Heroes because their music programs were getting cut. And it was weird hearing teachers in the summer come to a toy store and hear that.
Right.
So to see them be like, we don't have this, but we have Wii Music where kids can learn music, learn how to play and stuff, and it almost feels real. I mean, it might be something good.
Right,
it's only $50. Yes, the system is not powerful to show big graphics and stuff, but if you're using it as an educational purpose, this is a good idea. The kids won't know what Born in the USA is. And then China notes and stuff. They don't know about that because Rock Band A doesn't teach that. I think Wii Music kind of taught people just like, this is how you can learn an instrument.
Well,
this is
if you're looking to learn an instrument too, there was also Rocksmith.
Where you hear the real guitar. That one is true. So before we go, my last question is, it is summer.
Is it?
It is. Yes.
Are you gonna start singing? Are you gonna start singing the Olaf song from Frozen? Is that how we're closing this?
No.
In the summer.
It's the time of people playing their backlog. You know, games that they miss or games that they played a little bit of and have.
Oh, my backlog's huge.
Have you made any plans to maybe go back and do a backlog or revisit some games or anything for the summer? Before you get into more new games and stuff like
that. I'm probably going to go back. I had to look at my I'm probably going to go back because I actually last summer bought the Watch Dogs DLC that came out. Never played it. So I still got to go through the Watch Dogs DLC. I got quite a bit. And then, you know, a lot of my DS games I've still got to get through. I've got quite a bit, but like right now it's Arkham Knight, and then I'll probably go back in Shadows of Mordor, Watch Dogs, and then it's just Animal Crossing and Monster Hunter 4.
Okay.
So I mean, my backlog isn't what it used to be, but it's still a lot of stuff that I just haven't completely finished yet. So, DLC that I haven't finished. I mean, you know, I might finish my NHL 15 season since I haven't. You know, I have until September for that one. So, I might do some. Even though it's not backlog, I'm also in the Fable Legends beta right now. So
okay.
I've been participating in the MMO version of Fable.
The Fable Legends, was that different from what they showed the trailer?
No, it seems about the same.
It seems about the same.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen much.
I'm not really. Oh, actually, you have to edit that part out. I forgot that I signed the no discuss clause. So
don't worry about it. Don't. we won't say much. No one else is talking about it. We won't say.
So it's very enjoyable from what I've played. Just make sure I don't put my gamer tag out there, so or they'll suspend my account.
Well, John, where can people find you?
Whoa! I just said I can't put that information out.
Talking about like your Twitter name or something like that.
You my Twitter is at Darth Cubby, D A R T H C U B B I E. Yeah, and then you can find me on Facebook, I guess, at John O'Hagan. You can listen to me if we ever come out of retirement at the. At the Critical Hit Anomalous, I forgot the name of our show. It's been such a long time.
The Critical Anomalous.
The Critical Hit Anomalous.
Yeah, the Critical Hit Anomalous.
Right. See, it's been a while. Justin, if you're listening to this, we need to get out of retirement.
And you know I got to do a show with him. Oh, yeah. I'm planning another sports show with you. And I think what I'm going to do is, whenever they bring out NHL 16.
September.
They're just doing it for one of four, right? PS1, PS4, and Xbox One.
I think it's Xbox One and PS4. I know Madden, which comes out also on August 25th, uh-huh, is coming out for last gen and current gen.
Okay. So I need to make sure that I have an Xbox One for that time. I'm going to pick up NHL 16 for Xbox One. Hopefully me and you have an online match, and I want to have a discussion on how great and how terrible.
Well, one of the cool things too with Xbox One is they're partnered up already. One of the pre-installed apps, uh-huh, is Twitch. So, and with the Kinect, I could record the game and still through my Twitch account that, yeah, I have on there, which I think is also Darth Cubby. You can watch me play Ed and listen to my commentary.
We'll talk about that. we're probably going to do that. The thing with that is that I want to do it as talking about being helped in games.
What it's like to be Mike Tyson versus Little Mac?
Oh, no, nothing like that. Oh, goodness. I can't even go through Punch Out. No, but you know.
Now he's Mr. Dream, right?
Exactly.
Once a license agreement.
Talking about being helped in games. Like, if you're a terrible player, playing against somebody and they're helping you to become a better player. I kind of want to talk about that. It might actually do a blog about that. But thank you once again for joining me. You can hear the Critical Hit Anomalous at podbean.com. criticalhitanomalous.podbean.com.
If you want to hear the Critical Hit Anomalous come back, just start tweeting Crazy J. What is it? Crazy J 82, I think, is what his Twitter handle is. Tell him to ask him when we're coming back, because I don't know. He's the man. So he just needs to drop me a call, and I'm ready to go.
Need to drop me a call, and let me make sure that I'm not working.
Yeah, ask Ed how this works. Just drop me a call. We'll do a shit now.
The show that I want to do with them, and this is kind of exclusive, I want to talk. Breaking news. I'm going to talk about his gaming history with them.
There you
of course,
go.
I'm going
to do that. Would be
that.
Kind of funny to hear.
I want to talk to him about horror games, survival horror, and how he feels about them. What is his upbringing in survival horror, and if horror movies played a part in it. So that's going to be a coming show. It's not for October or anything like that. It's just an actual general talk. Because I like survival horror. I need to finish Silent Hill, so be gentle with
Silent
me.
Hill, well, that's a good series. So
but
is,
I do have that. But thank you once again. That's the plan of the show. Thank you once again, John, for joining me, having this conversation with me. And this is just a random talk about games and being a video game player and loving them all. Hey, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy family, enjoy friends, you know, enjoy love, do what you do best, enjoy gaming.
When are we posting this, by the way? This is supposed to be the edit part now, where we're like, I'm breaking the fourth wall. You're like, have a great weekend.
This is probably gone when I get home tonight.
All right. So wait. So as of right now, it is that one day.
They don't need to know the time.
Well, it's summertime. You know, in the summer.
And the loving is easy.
So, depending on when Ed posts this, have a good weekend. Have a happy 4th of July. And if be safe. And if you want to blow things up, there's probably a couple games that you can obviously play safely and blow things up. Like, there was that one game I can't think of. Choo Choo Rocket, I think is what it was.
For Dreamcast.
Yeah, I think there was one for the 360 also where the music was playing and you had to do a little button. Man, here we go. I'm just gonna keep rambling because I'm having so much fun.
Once
but
again,
it's gotta go.
We don't do this on we don't do no kind of research. Sometimes
I'm just talking about my own flat. I'm having video. I feel like I'm like a war veteran from video games now. Like I'm having flashbacks to like games that like I'm still thinking of Pong.
Oh goodness! And on that cue, thank you guys for joining us once again. Have a good weekend. And those who are in California that's going to the IGN house party, let me know how it went. I want to hear about it. All right.
If you see a UPS truck in a storm, please look for a package with my name on it because it's a 3DS that's supposed to be being sent back from California.
The listeners don't care about none
no,
of
no.
that.
Right. Well, I'm telling them they can get a free DS because there's a storm.
They don't need to. They definitely don't need to do know that.
All right.
Just all keep right. Yeah. So once again,
I hope to be back soon.
Yes, I'm going to have my special guest back on. Like once again, thank you for joining me. You guys, like I said, once again for the final time, I'm gonna get off this mic. Have a good weekend, and we're out. Peace
and chicken grease.